for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, April the 24th, 2011. Frank Butler is the speaker of the service teaching on God Loves Winners.
Bit more on the guitar. La 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 la. Come on, sing it with me. La 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 la. If you're embarrassed, close your eyes, no one will see you. La la la, la 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 la. In your presence, Lord, there is liberty. In your presence, Lord, there is power to heal. In your presence, Lord, there is fullness of joy. Your right hand, a pleasure's forevermore. Come live in the praises of your people, O Lord. Pour out your spirit in this place. Come live in the praises of your people, O Lord. Be glorified in this place. Here we go. Come on. La. Lift your voices. Oh, yeah. We're practicing for eternity. La 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 la. Come live in the praises of your people, O Lord. Pour out your spirit in this place. Come live in the praises of your people, O Lord. Be glorified in this place. Be glorified in this place. Be glorified in this place. The still waters he faithfully leads, bringing peace to my soul. His love has made me whole. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all my days. And when in the valley of deepest despair, I look to the shepherd, his presence is there, bringing peace to my soul. His love has made me whole. Sing it with me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Follow me. Follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all my days. The shepherd, he meets all my needs. Beside the still waters, he faithfully leads, bringing peace to my soul. His love has made me whole. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. all my days. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all my days. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Visit Simon, foolish and wise. Proudly he's tending his nets. Jesus calls, the boat drifts away, and all that he owns he forgets. More than the nets he abandoned that day, the pride in his heart was sailing away. It's hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. Matthew was mindful of taking the tax and pressing the people to pay. Jesus called, he responded in faith and followed the light and the way. Leaving the people so puzzled he'd found, the greed in his heart was no longer around. It's hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. Everyone wants to be set free from the things that keep them so tight. Freedom's not found in what we want to do. It's the power to choose what is right. Casting our cares upon Jesus, we find the burdens get light. We can't imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. We show a love for the world in our lives, worshipping goods we possess. Jesus said, lay all treasures aside, love God above all the rest. When we say no to the call of this world, we open our hearts to the love of the Lord. It's hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. It's so hard to imagine the freedom we find from the things we leave behind. Hallelujah. on everyone stand. Just bring this up a bit, Don. This is from Revelation chapter 19. We're going to be singing this in a billion years' time. So lift up your hands, get those antennas up. You touch God, He'll touch you. Lift up your voices. Come on. Hallelujah. Here we go. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation, glory, honor, and power. Tell Him. Salvation, glory, honor, and power belong to the Lord our God. Belong to the Lord our God. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation, glory, honor, and power. Salvation, glory, honor, and power. Belong to the Lord our God. Sing hallelujah. Come on, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, He's worthy to be praised, sing hallelujah, oh, we love you Jesus, salvation, glory, honor, and power. Come on. Salvation, glory, honor, and power belong to the Lord our God. Belong to the Lord our God. Oh, yeah. Sing hallelujah. 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 Salvation glory. Salvation glory, honor and power. Honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Belong to the Lord our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Testing the microphone to see if it works.
Hallelujah. Let's turn this morning to the book of Acts, the book of Action, chapter 16, verse 16. Amen. Great to be here with you this morning. And I like what Sister Patty said. I celebrate Resurrection Day every day. I celebrate Christmas every day. Christmas is good, and all the food, the trimmings, all the decorations, gifts, and all that is good. But I don't find anything special about special days. Every day is a resurrection day. Amen? We're a day closer to seeing Jesus. Amen. It's been great to be here with you, and I pray the word of the Lord has been a blessing to you. The scripture says, whatever God does, it'll be forever, ever. Nothing can be put to it, and nothing can be taken from it. So if you receive ministry this week, you hold on to it. Don't let anyone or anything steal it away. Amen? Hallelujah. You hold on to it. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. What a mess the world is. Amen. We need Jesus. Amen. Anybody here like winning? One, two, three, four. Amen. Everybody say, I'm born again. I'm born to win. God loves winning. God has never, ever, ever, never, ever, never, ever, 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 never, ever, shall I go on, lost. God thrives on winning. Look at me and listen. 8 times in the book of Revelation it says to the one who overcomes. Not the down and outer, not the wimp, not the chicken running with their tail between their legs like Israel did from Goliath, like the modern church is from many things. We need men and women to stand for Christ. Will the real Christians please stand up? Come on. Hallelujah. Now you may be seated. Hallelujah. We need some people with a bit of guts and a bit of courage and a bit of determination. Amen. Nothing stopped Jesus. Satan tried to kill him many times before he got to the cross. First time Jesus preached a message, after it they took him up to a cliff to throw him over. Must have been a great message. Hallelujah. And Satan only left Jesus for a season. And he's only going to leave you for a season. Wake up. Hallelujah. That's why you got to believe what you believe. Greater is he that's in you. Amen. For us to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen. So we're going to have a look at some winners this morning. In this one incident, God turned this whole thing around in a heartbeat. Have a look at it here. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by fortune-telling. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. We've got the New Age movement today. They're just hippies from the 70s who got old. And we still have all this hocus-pocus and magic and all this stuff. And God, the Bible says all we need to know about the spirit realm. And God says, let the astrologer save you from the things that will come upon you. Behold, they'll be a stubble. They won't be able to deliver themselves. I remember when I was in the rock music business, I was deep into astrology, and I'd read one star sign for me, and they'd say, my star sign, oh, today you're going to meet a beautiful girl and make a lot of money. And then I'd read another one, another magazine, today your relationships are going to fail and you're going to go broke. Thank God for the truth of God's word. Amen. And God says in his word, don't listen to the diviners and dreamers and fortune tellers and sorcerers who speak to you, for they prophesy lies to you. See, Satan is the father of lies. Paul said the work of the sinful nature is witchcraft, and all who practice such will not inherit the kingdom of God. And look at verse 17. And it says this girl with the fortune-telling spirit followed Paul and us, and she cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who show unto us the way of salvation." Now what she was saying was right, but it was the wrong spirit. Amen. You know, Satan knows the Bible. Hallelujah. He used scripture to tempt Jesus, for crying out loud. So he knows how to distort things. And this woman, filled with these satanic spirits, she was trying to affiliate herself with Christians, with men of God. And but look at verse 18. "This she did for many days." You know, the devil often attacks us for many days. "But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour." Hallelujah. I like that. You know, Paul took authority. He took command. Now listen, Christian, look at me, listen. If you do not take authority in your life, somebody else will. You've got to know who you are in Christ. You've got to know that as a man or woman of God, you have authority. Not the TV preacher, not the visiting ministry, not some other Christian. You do. If you're a Christian, you have authority. 14 times in the New Testament, we are told to pray in Jesus' name, which means by his authority. We have unqualified, unlimited, unrestricted right to freely use Jesus' name in the following. Say it after me. Preaching. Salvation, repentance, baptism, healing, casting out devils, working miracles, judgment, prayer, praise, church meetings, thanksgiving, the Holy Spirit baptism, and in everything we do. Whose authority are you under? You under some other relative or friend's authority, some employer maybe? Are you under the devil's authority in some area of your life? Or have you totally surrendered your whole life to Jesus Christ and put your life under his headship? See, he's called Lord and Savior, but many Christians just have him as a Savior. You know, churches fill up when people have got a need. Pastors tell me all the time, when somebody's got a need, they'll be at every service. Otherwise, they just drop in maybe once a week, and yeah, that's my church, yeah, I go there, he's my pastor. When people have some opposition in their life, they start to get close to God. Unfortunately, it takes a crisis often to bring people to Christ. And we're talking about Christians here, I'm not talking about non-Christians. Hallelujah. And listen to what the scripture says. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Amen. But when a wicked man rules, the people mourn. When the wicked perish, there is shouting. Hallelujah. And you need to submit totally to Christ's authority. People are Christians are constantly struggling and trying to make things work, and they're questioning the Word of God. You don't hear the Word of God to get unbelief. Faith comes from the Word of God, not fear, doubt, unbelief, wavering skepticism, and all that rubbish. And Paul took authority here. He knew who his God was, backing him up. Paul said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places." Look at verse 19. "And when her masters saw that the prophets were gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities." See, the evil spirit was cast out, and now the money dried up. Amen. The Bible says the pleasures of sin only last for a season. You know, most sin is pleasurable. Drugs, alcohol, sexual sin. Some people like smoking cigarettes. I've had people come out on all the services with a breathing machine, and I come to them to pray for them, and I can smell cigarettes on them, and I lean over and say, "You a smoker?" And they sort of like, "How did you know?" Well, you can say, they smell like an ashtray, you know. And I say, "Are you prepared to give up smoking to get healed?" They've got emphysema or something else. And I say, "Oh no, I like the flavor." I've been into cancer wards where they've got a tube in their throat with a cigarette in it because they've had cancer of the tongue or cancer of the lips or throat. Satan wants to get a grip on us and shorten on people and shorten their lives. You see, sin shortens your life. Listen, the Bible says the days of the wicked will be shortened. The Bible says the wicked will not live out half their days. People who commit sexual sin die young. People that take drugs and drink a lot of alcohol die young. People always stressed out, angry and bitter, die young. See, righteousness exalts people. Sin is a disgrace to any people. Hallelujah. And Paul here cast this spirit out, and this girl now, the money's run out. So they grab Paul and Silas, and in verse 20, look at it. They brought them to the magistrates, the judges, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Now Paul and Silas are called troublemakers. On another occasion, Paul was called a pest or a nuisance. On another occasion, Paul was called mad. I've been called all three, but I'm still preaching. Hallelujah. Christians should be the sanest people on the face of the earth today. Amen. We need some people to stand up. We're salt. We're light. We're the light. We represent the light of Jesus here on this earth. Amen. Paul spoke of one family in the book of Corinthians. It's the only time the word addicted is mentioned in the Bible. Guess what it says? It says, Paul says, this family, they have addicted themselves to the ministry. Oh, I like that. Hallelujah. When you got an addiction, when you got a drug addiction, I gotta have it. Or you gotta be addicted to Jesus. You gotta be addicted to the gospel. You gotta be addicted to get results for Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. Just don't sit there and listen to all the preachers and teachers. It's like Patty said, put it into practice. Hallelujah. Amen. And my mother sister said, you'll get opposition. I've had opposition since I got saved. Amen. I've had it all. I've had love offering checks bounced. I've been spat at. I've been punched up. I've had objects thrown at me. I had a guy here. I was going to up to Beaumont. I was telling, I mentioned it briefly the other night, to preach from Houston in 1995. My car broke down, so I hitched a ride. A white guy pulls up, long hair, about 30 years of age, shorts and a tank top. It was June. It was hot on I-10. And he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Beaumont." He said, "Jump in." I jumped in and we drove. I pulled out a gun held to my head. He says, "You're dead. You're finished. I'm going to kill you." Just cussing and screaming at me. And I just started, people say, "Well, how did you feel?" I didn't have time to think about how I felt. I just started to pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And after a few minutes, "I'm going to pull off this next thing. I'm going to shoot you. You're finished." And I just started praying the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, he screamed at me. He said, "What do you do?" I said, "I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to a service to preach the gospel." He put the gun down. I found out his name was Ken. He'd been laid off work early. They didn't give him all the money that was due to him. He had some alcohol in the car. I wouldn't have gotten in if I had seen that. And he went and got drunk. And he's going to take it out on somebody. That somebody was me. We pull up outside the church, about 10 feet from the front door of the church. Brother Howard Cameron up at Trinity Church in Beaumont. And I said, "Ken, come into the service." He said, "No church would have me dressed like this." I said, "Any church that wouldn't have you dressed like that is not worth visiting." And this is what he said. He said, "You're all right. I'm glad I didn't shoot you. God is my witness." That's what he said. That's what he said. And he put out his hand. He said, "See you, Frank." I said, "I'm going to pray for you now." I started praying for him. "Lord, bless Ken. Let him come to know you as I know you. Lord, resolve all the stuff he told me about in his life." And I could feel him squeezing my hand. And when I said amen, he's weeping like a baby. And the Lord sobered him up. And he gave his life to Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I went into the service that night. I preached. And at the end of the service, I told everybody what had happened. They're all sitting there going, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No weapon, no weapon formed against us will prosper." If I'm wrong, I'm having a good time being wrong. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I like winning. I used to play Monopoly with my two older sisters. And my middle sister, Lorraine, if she started to lose, she pushed the board off the table. She was a sore loser. I don't know about you, I like winning. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Everybody say, "Whoa!" Come on, say, "Whoa!" Amen. Blessed be God. We're all going to have our battles to fight, but we've got to know we've got the power of heaven backing us up. Amen. Blessed be God. And look what it says in verse 22. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded they be beaten. What do? They set a girl free from an evil spirit, and they get incredible opposition. You'll always get incredible opposition. I was in Israel years ago, and a silly preacher from Houston, Texas, he went back and told a bunch of preachers that I smoked cigarettes. Little did he know that I wrote a song called "If God Made You to Smoke, You'd Have a Chimney in Your Head." Lung cancer, heart disease, what a price to pay. You burn all your money, smoke your life away. Oh, that old nicotine, it is so mean, it won't calm your nerves or give you self-esteem. I'm a genius. I wrote a wonderful song. If God made you to smoke, you'd have a chimney in your head. You might think it's a joke, but you won't after you're dead. And that silly preacher I found out how he spread that rumor. Some churches started to cancel out meetings. No one came to minister to me. Look at me, listen. You know what I found? So you mature Christians will say amen to this. When somebody attacks you unjustly, there's something wrong in their life. That pastor later ran off with his church secretary, left a beautiful wife and four kids. Had built a beautiful church. It's sitting empty now. Hallelujah. Sin doesn't pay. And we are going to get attacked. Hallelujah. Paul said, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He said, another time we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Look at verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them secure. In the book of Corinthians, Paul said, five times I received 39 stripes. Jesus received it once. Those whippings were enough to kill you. Paul said in Corinthians he was frequently in prison. He was a jailbird. He wrote most of the New Testament. Work that one out. Hallelujah. You ever think about the great people in the Bible? Noah, a drunk. Abraham, a liar. Jacob, favoritism to his kids. Moses, a murderer. Samson, a womanizer. David, a murderer, adulterer, a liar. All the 12 pests, alias the 12 disciples, they drove Jesus crazy. Keep the people away, keep the kids away, bring fire from heaven to kill people. The 12 pests. There's hope for us. There's hope for us. Amen. He takes the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Amen. Oh, and this jailer, look at verse 24. Having received a command, he put them in the inner prison, the dungeon. He wasn't told to put them in the dungeon. He just told to put them in prison. And he says their feet were fastened in the shackles, all the stocks. So things don't look good. Amen. Look at verse 25. Here comes the turnaround. And at midnight, Silas turned to Paul and said, it's all your fault, you fanatical Christian. You went too far. Why don't you have to go cast that devil out, you super spiritual weirdo, you? No, no, no. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Amen. You might be going through a midnight. You might feel whipped and beaten and cast down. You might feel just defeated. You might have an addiction, a bad habit. You might have some sickness, physical or emotional, financial problem. You might have division in some relationship, might be somebody else is causing some grief in your life. Well, God's going to turn it around. We're going to see that. Now, they were not whiners, but worshippers. Amen. Paul said this, speak to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speak to yourself. Amen. You've got to believe what you say when you speak to yourself. God lives in the praises of His people. Hallelujah. And they sang and they prayed. Paul wrote, pray always. He said, pray everywhere, lifted up holy hands. I'm sure when we see Paul and Silas in glory, I'm sure they weren't standing there. I'm sure they had their antennas up. Hallelujah. You've got to get physical for Jesus. Look at verse 26. And several months later they were set free. If you've got a terminal disease, you don't need healing next month or next year. Every miracle in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John in the book of Acts happens straight away, immediately or within the hour. We've got to bring God's power into the now. People need help in the now. Hallelujah. And these people made a big mistake. These magistrates and this jailer, they thought, well, we've got them bound physically now. But see, just like you and me, Paul and Silas were spiritually free. Paul was the one who wrote, where the Holy Spirit is, there's liberty. Amen. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you might stand against the tricks of the devil. Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the good news shoes, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. A guy walked into Jog Haggie's church years ago. On a Wednesday night, and they have it on audio. He wasn't on TV then. And the guy stood about 12 feet from the pulpit and emptied 6 shots at him. Who's heard the audio? Anybody here heard the audio? You've heard it. The guy emptied the gun at him. John Hagee said, if I ever heard God speak, I heard him that night. You know what God said to him? Stand still. God said that to Israel many times. Stand still. Let me fight for you. Jesus takes the stress out of living. We're always trying to fight the battles for ourselves. No, no. We've got to do part of it. We do our part, but we've got to believe God's going to do His part. And they took the guy away after he emptied the gun. They went back the next day. And John stood behind the pulpit and they ran fishing wire into the holes in the wall. If he had moved a fraction of an inch, one of those bullets would have hit him. I was sharing with some folks last night, John Hagee, I should say John Osteen, was sent a bomb in the 90s. Anybody remember that? Yep. He was sent a bomb. And Lisa, his daughter, went into the office and opened. They thought it was the Unabomber who had not yet been caught. And the bomb blew. It was on the front page all across America because they covered it in Houston, because that's where I live, big time. And the furniture and everything was just splintered. It had nails and ball bearings and everything in it. She should have been shredded to pieces. She had minor cuts on her stomach. Look at me and listen. 6 months later, I was sitting in a service at Lakewood Church. And she got up to give her testimony of what happened that day. She said before she went into the office, and she did what my wife, my son and I do every day before we travel out, before Matthew goes to college, or he's 19, my son's 6'4" now. We put on the armor of God. Do it with me. Come on, do it with me. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Belt of truth. Sword of the Spirit. Shield of faith. And the gospel of peace. And she got up and she said, Daddy taught me to put on the armor of God. So she put on the armor of God, went in there, opened a bomb. She had minor cuts on her stomach, and God delivered her. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not earthly, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. But it takes faith. Look at me and listen. Every gospel blessing this side of heaven comes by faith. You're not going to get anything from God except by faith. Why? Because it was unbelief. Because man turned away from what God said, Devil, I'm going to listen to you. You need to start listening to what God says, especially about you. Amen. Look at verse 27. Gets better and gooder. And the keeper of the prison, awakened from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had fled. Because he was responsible, he was going to commit suicide. Because he would have been executed anyway. But look at verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, we are all here. Then he called for a light, and he ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And they brought them out, and they said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's what he said. What must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas said, We're in a hurry, we'll have our pastor get in touch with you. Paul and Silas said, It's not our ministry. I get tired of hearing Christians say, It's not my ministry. Or they say to a minister or somebody, I don't get a witness on it. Or, I'll pray about it. There are escape clauses for Christians. If somebody here at the camp says, we need some painting done, we need some work done around here, then I'll pray about it. That means you're not going to do anything. Oh, if I get a witness on it, what's God going to do? Paint the house. Hallelujah. What must I do to be saved? They said, We're praying for a revival, and when it comes, we'll get back to you. If you got the Bible, the power of the Holy Ghost, in Him we live and move and have our being, you don't need revival. You only need revival if you're lukewarm, spiritually dead, backslidden, sick, defeated, struggling financially, oppressed. I'm not living down here. I don't need to be revived back to a former place or position. I ain't living down here. The word revive is mentioned 2 times in the New Testament. Once to do with sin, once to do with bodily resurrection. Jesus did not tell us to go into all the world and pray for revival. Revival says you were here and you fell to a lower place or position, and the church or the Christian or the preacher needs to be revived, restored, renewed back to a former place or position. Satan has hoodwinked the Western church with a revival doctrine. You can walk into a Christian bookshop, find books this thick, books galore on revival. Listen to what Jesus did say before he went into heaven. He said at the end of Matthew, go teach and make disciples of all people. At the end of Mark, he said, go preach, go cast out devils, go stomp on the devil, speak with new tongues, heal the sick. At the end of Luke, he said, get the power from on high. At the end of John, he said, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. And many preachers and Christians are hiding behind the revival doctrine because they don't have faith in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have the luxury as preachers and Christians to sit around. You listen to the National Day of Prayer here in America. All the preachers get on TV and radio. Oh, Lord, send revival. Oh, Lord. He ain't sending it. He sent Jesus. He sent the power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. He has sent you. And it's time to get off your rear end and attack, advance, and charge. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. People say you were a revivalist. No, I say I'm a nowist. Now is the day of salvation. I start a new cult, the Nowist. Frank the Nowist. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, amen, amen, amen. It's a stupid teaching. And people are going to hell as I speak. People are demonized. Families are falling apart. The world's in a mess. They don't need a church to sit around. Wait, when's it going to happen? Next week, next month, next year? I've been hearing about a coming revival since I got saved. I'm glad there was a little revival going on the night I got saved. I wasn't always a wonderful, handsome, anointed preacher. I used to have hair down to here and lots of it. Used to wear an earring. Used to wear gold boots up to here with a 4-inch heel with my name down the side. First night I wore those boots, I got drunk and high on drugs in front of a couple of thousand people on a stage about this high, and I slipped off the stage and broke my ankle. You reap what you wear. I was living like the devil. Thought I was cool. Used to perform with AC/DC, the Bee Gees, Little River Band, Fats Domino, a lot of other famous people. One day my car broke down in Australia and I hitched a ride. I never hitch. A guy picked up, he never picks up hitchhikers. He was a businessman. I'm a long-haired rock and roll star. He picked me up. He said, after we drove off, he said, where are you going? I said, the junction. He said, my name's Jim. What's yours? I said, Frank. He said, I picked you up for a reason. He said, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You need to get Jesus into your life. He said, Jesus will get sin and all rebellion. He just gave me the gospel out of your life. That's what he said. He could get all Jesus in and get all that sin and rebellion. I'm sitting there cussing him under my breath. I used to curse the name of Jesus. The week before I got drunk, I was stumbling around the streets of Sydney after a concert, a city of 4 million people, and there was some open air campaigners. They're a Christian group. They pull up in a van, they get a banner out, they get their piano, accordion, guitar, they get a little pulpit, a little platform about a foot high, and the guy's up there preaching about Jesus, and I walked up, pushed him off. I said, what a load of blink, blink, blink rubbish. Following week I got saved. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a compassionate God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. Give me a big amen. Hallelujah. God can save you and me. He can save anybody. If I was God, I would have sent you all to hell a long time ago. I'd be a terrible God. Do not pass go, do not collect 200. Hallelujah. Look at this poor man here. What must I do to be saved? Look what they said. Call on the name of the Lord. There's that name above all names. And you will be saved. What would you do under these circumstances? They had their backs ripped open. They've been in a filthy, rotten dungeon. I've been into prisons all over this nation. Prisons in the United States have air conditioning, swimming pools, gymnasiums, TVs, videos. You could study. They get 3 meals a day. They get free dental care. They get free health. Many prisoners have told me they're better off in the prison than they are outside the prison. This prison was nothing like prisons in the United States. And God miraculously sets them free. And they stop and take time to minister to this man. Look at verse 31. And they said, believe on Jesus Christ, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your family will be saved. Paul was the one who wrote, "Preach the gospel when it's convenient and inconvenient." It wasn't very... My wife, when I got home after that guy held the gun to my head that night, I drove back down to Houston. I told her, she said, "How did you feel? What did you do?" I said, I just had to pray in the Holy Ghost, give it over to the Lord. I said, "It was the name of Jesus Christ." I said, "I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ." He put the gun down. Hallelujah. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. We've got to believe what the Bible says, folks. Amen. Look at verse 32. "And they spoke the word of the Lord to the jailer and to all who were in his house." Now in verse 27, he pulled out a sword to kill himself. Paul gave him the sword of the Spirit. In verse 29, he called for a light. He was a natural man. Paul gave him the light of the gospel. In verse 29, he fell down. He was a natural man. Paul and Silas were supernatural men. They were ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador has? If you are in America from another country and you have diplomatic plates on your car and you go through red lights galore, they can pull you over, but they can't give you a ticket or arrest you because you have diplomatic immunity. Whoa, we have diplomatic immunity. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. Look at verse 33. "And he," probably the one who whipped them, we don't know for sure, but it was probably the same man, the jailer, "he took them the same hour," everybody say same hour, "of the night, and he washed their wounds, and he and his family were baptized straight away." Everybody say straight away. God is a now God. Listen, verse 18, "the girl was delivered from the evil spirit the same hour." Verse 26, "Paul and Silas were miraculously set free from prison suddenly and immediately." Verse 33, "Paul and Silas are ministered to by the jailer the same hour and his family's baptized straight away." Amen. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Look at verse 34. "And when he had brought them into his house, he set some good home cooking before them." Yeehaw, some victuals. Some grits. Does anybody here eat grits? Repent. Horrible stuff. Tasteless. You've got to put the butter, you've got to put the sugar on. Yeah, that's a good way to start the day. You'd be all hyper. "I had my grits." "Now it's time to say goodbye for Patty and all her kin. We would like to thank you all for kindly dropping in. You're all invited back next camp to this locality to have a heap and helping of Holy Ghost hospitality. Don't take your shoes off, your feet smell. Give the Lord a shout of praise." Nothing strange about me. Amen. Does anybody here like being happy?
Yeah.
It's better than being miserable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Better than being oppressed. Better than being worried. Better than being stressed out. Be anxious for...
nothing.
Amen. Oh, he said... Which one?
No.
They don't come to my revivals. People say to me, "Did you go to Pensacola? Have you been to Toronto?" I say, "No, they've never been to my meetings." Hallelujah. "The Lord set some good home cooking before them." Look at this. "And they rejoiced." When people get saved, they get happy. When people get delivered, they get happy. When people get healed, they get happy. When people get blessed financially, they get happy. "And they rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." His faith now is contagious. Not only does the jailer get saved, his whole family gets saved. And that's a promise for all of us too. You and your household will be saved. Amen. Anybody here believe the Bible? When your ways please the Lord, he'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. That's what happened. The Lord sets a table for us in the presence of our enemies. This man, he may have whipped them. We know he put him in the prison. And this man gets saved. He takes them home, gives them some good home cooking. The whole thing's turned around. God took them from a dungeon to a dinner. From bondage to a banquet. From failure to a feast. From being captives to being more than conquerors. Give the Lord a victory shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul wrote, "If God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." What a great gospel it is. Look at verse 35. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." Anybody notice the sun comes up every day? Anybody does? Do you know that most sin and wickedness happens in the dark hours? Any law enforcement official will tell you, once the sun sets, that's when the evildoers come out. Some sin during the day, but the bulk of sin is done in darkness. Satan is the prince of darkness. We have Jesus, the light of the world. We are lights. Hallelujah. The light drives back the darkness. Amen. And look, in verse 35 and 36, the word go is there three times. It means to get up and move out from where you're at. You've got to become a moving target. The devil's not going to know what you're doing next. Too many people just sit in the pews and Satan's just dropping everything on them. And you're not doing anything for Christ. The joy comes from serving Jesus Christ, not knowing Jesus Christ. Look at me and listen. It's not enough just to know the Lord. You know why? The scripture says, do you believe in God? You do well, because the devils also believe and tremble. God doesn't just want us to believe He exists. He wants us to believe Him. Because when you believe what He says and live according to what He says, then you'll have power in your life. Amen. A lot of people say, "Oh yeah, I'm a believer." But they don't do anything for Jesus. Why were Paul and Silas set free? They practiced what they preached and they preached what they practiced. Firstly, they lived by faith. Paul was the one who wrote, "We live by faith, not by sight. Fight the good fight of faith, war a good warfare." I could prove to you from the Bible, look at me and listen, that your hearing, sight, smell, taste and touch can deceive you. I've got a whole message on that. Remember Martha at the tomb? "Oh Lord, don't roll away the stone. By now he stinks." She walked by smell, not by faith. She followed her nose. Hearing is all of those faculties. We are moved by faith, not by what we see or feel. Secondly, Paul and Silas didn't quit, waver, give up or lose heart. Paul was the one who wrote, "Let us not be weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." Thirdly, they totally ignored their circumstances. Paul was the one who wrote, "All things work together for good. Rejoice in the Lord always. In everything give thanks." They knew their strength was in God. Paul was the one who wrote, "When I'm weak, I'm strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And they lived for Christ and they died for Christ. Paul was the one who wrote, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ." No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. They want to please the commanding officer. Before Paul died, this is what he wrote. "I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He also gave the faith away too. Hallelujah. The result of this one incident was absolute victory. They conquered the demon. They conquered the magistrates. They conquered the prison. They conquered the whipping. They conquered the jailer and the jailer's household. Paul wrote twice. Listen to this. "Thanks be to God who always causes us to win." I want to live as a winner and I want to die as a winner. I don't want to lose. Hallelujah. I want to win. The more we win, the more we achieve for Christ. Amen. Today's church desperately needs some Pauls and Paulettes. Some Silases and Silettes, if you please. Listen to what the psalmist said. "Listen to my cry, I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, they're stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise your name." If you want to be free all the days of your life, you want victory every step of the way, jump to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Well, good on you, brother. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's Easter. And many people are celebrating you. But Lord, I thank you that every day is a resurrection day. It's a new day. And Lord, I thank you for Paul and Silas' example. Their faith lives on. Even to this day. And Lord, I'm not going to whine. I'm going to worship. I'm not going to be powerless. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to have power every step of the way. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. It is written, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I reject sin. I reject bad habits. I reject addictions. I reject the troubled past. I reject poverty, want, and need. I reject fear, doubt, unbelief, stress, tension, worry, anxiety. I will not tolerate them. I reject spiritual deadness. And Lord, I don't need revival. Because when you got the re, you don't need the Bible. Hallelujah. And I've got you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you. I'm going to live in victory all the days of my life. For it is written, this is the victory that overcomes the world, by faith. And when I stand before you, I want to see a smile on your face. And I want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. I love you, Jesus. I'm proud to stand in this place and lift up holy hands. Lord, as I touch you, reach down from heaven and touch me. I love you, Lord. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. Give him a victory shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Where's my singing lady? I called the other day. I want a female singer. She came up and she introduced herself. She said, I'm the female singer. But now I'm calling her a singing lady. Hallelujah. She's a good girl. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I want all the leaders to come out the front. Come on, quick, quick. All the people here ministering. We're going to open up the altar. We're going to have an altar call. You know what an altar is? It's a place of sacrifice. It's time to put everything on. You know, at the Alamo there, you people should know the Alamo story better than me. I used to love Davy Crockett when I was a kid. Born on a tablecloth in Tennessee. That's what we used to sing. Born on a... That's a joke. Born on a tablecloth. That's a joke. I've seen Davy Crockett. Anybody seen Davy Crockett's house? It's over near... not Chattanooga. What's the city? Is it Chattanooga? Might be. I think it's Chattanooga. It must be about this big. It's like a cardboard box. It's tiny. Anybody seen Jesse James' house in Missouri? It's small. Same thing. Must be about this big. Full house, and that's where he got shot. Quite incredible. I had little homes. You know, amazing. Good gracious. Hallelujah. That was interesting information, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you want some miracles, some answers to prayers? Run down the front. Come on. Come on. Believe God. Believe God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And dream big and think big. Come on now. Just move in and come on. I'm going to get in there too. Come on. Go for it. Go for it. Come on. You speak it out. Say, this is what... Listen. Those that seek the Lord will not want anything, any good thing. That's what the Bible says. Those that seek the Lord will not want anything good thing. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. No good thing will he hold back from those who live uprightly. And you come out and say, I want this, I want to believe God for this, I want this. Dream big for yourself, your loved ones, your friends, your health, your finances, your future, your ministry, whatever it is. Come on, dream big. Come on. Thanks, sister. Come on, lead us in a prayer. Good victory. Nice worshipful victory song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, Rabakia, Rabakia, Son David. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you. Come on. Let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Come on. Amen. Ready for some miracles? Oh, come on. Get behind him, brother. That's it. Come on. That's it. Touch him right now. Flood him with power, Lord. Pour it in today. Come on. What do you want? What do you believe in, Paul? Speak it out.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.